1:18-23. The Son of God is better than everything else. The Son is the exact likeness of God who can't be seen. The Son is first, and he is over all creation. All things were created in him. He created everything in heaven and on earth. He created everything that can be seen and everything that can't be seen. He created kings, powers, rulers, and authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. Before anything was created, he was already there. He holds everything together, and he is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning. He is the first to be raised from the dead. That happened so that he could be far above everything. God was pleased to have his whole nature living in Christ. God was pleased to bring all things back to himself. That's because of what Christ has done. These things include everything on earth and in heaven. God made peace through Christ's blood by his death on the cross. At one time, you were separated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil ways. But because Christ died, God has brought you back to himself. Christ's death has made you holy in God's sight. You know you don't have any flaw. You are free from blame, but you must keep your faith steady and firm. You must not move away from the hope the good news holds out to you. This is the good news that you heard. It has been preached to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, now serve the good news.
Well, one of the things we like to do at Insight is we do a lot of work on the big story of the Bible. And one of the things I want to try and do this morning is the entire story of the Bible in 15 minutes, from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to try and do that. We're going to miss a lot of bits out, but we're going to keep it the main thing. And I want to do that so that you will be equipped and your children will be equipped to understand the key message of the Bible. And how we're going to do this is I want you to imagine a wonderful world where nothing ever goes wrong. A world where there is no such thing as bad. A world where everything works properly the first time that you try it. Imagine a world where there's no such thing as pain or trouble. Because I think we'd all like to see a place like that, wouldn't we? If we could go to a place like that, we'd all book our holidays there, wouldn't we? And if you'd just come back from spending the bank holiday weekend there, I think you'd get home and you'd want to tell everyone about it, wouldn't you? For example, you might be like, "All right, Johnny, did you do anything nice over the bank holiday weekend?" And he might be like, "Yeah, I did. I went to this place and it was amazing because it was brilliant because everything was good." And Johnny's friend would say to him, "Oh yeah, where's that?" And then Johnny would be like, "Oh, it was like the Garden of Eden, but before everything went wrong." You see, the world that God made originally in the beginning was very good. And the first two people that God made, Adam and Eve, they got to enjoy that world for a short time. God must have said to them, "Adam, Eve, welcome. Welcome to the world. This is the Garden of Eden. It's a bit like Wisley or Q, but better and free. And you are totally free to roam around and eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden. But you see that tree in the middle of the garden? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. It's like a poisonous tree. It'll kill you. If you eat from that tree, you will know evil." Because that's what the tree's called, isn't it? It does what it says in its name. Trust me, you don't want to know evil. It will spoil everything. It will ruin the whole planet. You're better off without it. So, there you go. That's the only rule. Enjoy yourselves, make yourselves at home, do a bit of gardening, get some sun, but just remember, no evil fruit. That's the only rule. Got it? What's the only rule?
No evil fruit.
No evil fruit. Brilliant. And Adam and Eve probably said, "Yes, Lord." And off they went, as happy as can be. In the words of Louis Armstrong, they saw trees of green. Red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you. And they must have thought to themselves, what a wonderful world. Until the devil turned up in the form of a snake. And he's like, "Adam, Eve, you really want to eat that piece of fruit, don't you? Well, you know what I say? Do it." And maybe you know what it feels like to be in that tension, because what's happened is they've now got one voice on one side telling them one thing, like, be careful, don't get into any trouble. And now they've got another voice on the other side saying, do it, do it, do it. And that's an awful tension to be in, isn't it? Because you've got to make a decision now, don't you? You've actually got to take someone's advice. You're either not going to eat it or you are going to eat it. So you've got to do one of those things. The only question is, who are they going to listen to? God or the snake? Now, we can demonstrate how awful it is to be in that situation by getting someone to come to the front and pulling them physically in two different directions. So everyone encourage Mike to come back up to the stage, please. And I'm going to need two volunteers to pull Mike in a different direction. So, yeah, one here, come on, and another person. It might take you a bit long. Yeah, come, quick, come down. And what we're going to do is if you take one of Mike's arms and pull him, well, not yet, just wait for the other chap to come down, and then here we are, he's on the way. Yeah, pull really hard. Go on, come on. And you take Mike's other arm,
okay,
and you pull him in the other direction, and just pull as hard, try and rip him in half if you can. If his arms come off, that's what we want. And then we'll ask him afterwards how it felt to be torn, literally. Okay, off you go. Excellent, thank you. That's perfect. Everyone give him a round of applause.
Well done.
Off you go, sit back down. And now we can ask Mike, Mike, how did it feel to be torn in two different directions?
It was quite painful, Daryl.
It was apparently quite painful. Thanks, everyone. Give Mike a round of applause and sit back down. Oh, what have we got? We've got the, I've got a little graphic there. Where is it? There you go. That's what it feels like to be torn in two different directions. Now, this is the case for Adam and Eve, isn't it? They've got God's voice on one side telling them, be careful, don't do that. That's going to spoil everything. And they've got the voice of the snake saying, do it, do it, do it. And they're torn. And they've got to make a decision. Who are they going to listen to, God or the snake? And sadly for all of us, they chose to listen to the snake, didn't they? And so Adam and Eve ended up bringing evil into our world, and it's never been the same since. Our relationship with God has never been the same since. Sometimes it feels like God is very far away, doesn't it? Because something inside has gone very wrong. And in our broken world, lots of things go wrong, don't they? We all feel pain now. We all experience trouble, don't we? And so the big question of the Bible is, what is God going to do to make it all right again? Now, this is my balloon over here. I've made this as an illustration of the wonderful world. Now, what's happened in the Garden of Eden there with Adam and Eve, it's a bit like someone taking a pair of scissors to my balloon. Now, I'm going to try and do this as gently as I can, because Mike's got a phobia of balloons deflating suddenly. So the way to deflate a balloon suddenly is to make a small incision at the end, like this, just like that, just like just quite a blunt pair of scissors. There you go. That's how you do it. And look at that. It's deflating. It's going down. It's all horrible. Now look at that. This is what happened to our world, right? It's gone a bit flat. It's got a bit limp and flabby. And there's no way it's ever going to be the same, is it? It doesn't matter what I try to do to this balloon, it's never going to be the same again. If I want to play with a balloon, I'm going to need a new balloon. In a similar way, we're going to need a new world, one where there is no more death or crying or pain, a perfect world with no snake to come and spoil everything. And the good news for us is that that's exactly how the Bible story ends, isn't it? It's in heaven, a perfect place with no more death or crying or pain. And so the big story of the Bible, if you like, is what did God do to make everything right again? There you go. What did God do? And what did God do? Well, he sent his son. He sent Jesus to come and help us. Now, God loves his son Jesus, right? We know this because at Jesus' baptism, God said in a very loud voice from heaven, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit came down in physical form and rested on Jesus forever. Now, sometimes your son can do things just like his dad. We have a saying, don't we? Like father, like son. Or someone might say, oh, he's just like his father. And it might be something you look like your nose, or it might be something in your personality, like, oh, he's really funny, just like his father. And in that reading that we've just had from Freddie, we learn that Jesus is just like his father, the exact likeness of God, full of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to see God, you've got to look at Jesus. If you want to know God, you've got to read the Bible and listen to Jesus. Now, the Bible also tells us that God's Son was there at the beginning when he made the world. When God did a really good job of making a very good world before it all went wrong, Jesus was there. He's just like his father, creative. And the Bible says this: God was pleased to bring all things back to himself because of what Jesus has done. Sorry. When people had wandered far away from him, God sent his son Jesus to do something to bring all things back to himself. So our obvious question is, what did Jesus do to make things right again? And our reading tells us, it says, God made peace through Christ's blood by his death on the cross. Jesus came to give his life to help us. He came to rescue us from the broken world that we live in. And it is a broken world. Because lots of people didn't like Jesus when he came. For example, as soon as Jesus was born, the king tried to have him killed. And Jesus' parents had to flee to Egypt until the king had died to escape from the king. They couldn't return from Egypt until it was safe. And then again, when Jesus was older, the religious people were jealous of him and they plotted to kill him again. One of Jesus' best friends, one of his best friends, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus was arrested but they couldn't find anything that he'd done wrong. People had to make up lies about him to try and just charge him with something. But Jesus was innocent. He never did anything wrong. So in the end, they had to say to him, "We just don't believe that you are the Son of God," even though he was. He was just like his father. And in a particularly mean moment, they put him on the cross to get rid of him once and for all. That's how broken our world is. And our reading today from the Bible puts it like this. At one time, you were separated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil ways. And that's talking about our broken relationship with God. After things went wrong in the garden with Adam and Eve, we were separated from God. We were enemies of God with evil ways. But the very next verse in the Bible has some wonderful news for all of us. Because Christ died, God has brought you back to himself. Christ's death has made you holy in God's sight. So now you don't have any flaw. You are free from blame. Now this is the masterstroke of God's plan. People put Jesus to death on the cross, but God used Jesus' death to bring us all back to himself. How? Because when Jesus died, he took all the punishment that I deserved. Jesus paid for all the things that I've done wrong. He also took all the punishment that Mike deserves. He also took all the punishment that you all deserve. In fact, because he's the Son of God, he took all of the punishment for all his people forever. So now there's no punishment left. There's nothing left to pay. In Jesus, you are free from blame. You are free to be with God again in his new world in heaven. Because Jesus came to help us, you can be forgiven. And that's what God does in the Bible to make everything right again. God sent Jesus to save our lives. So the question is, what shall we do now? And the Bible asks us to trust Jesus. The Bible asks us to believe that it's really true, that God has brought us back to himself through Jesus' death on the cross. That's the way to be with Jesus forever in his new world with no problems. That's the only way to get to the new world that God is making. Now, you can't try to get in another way, and you mustn't try to get in on your own without Jesus. We have to believe that Jesus will bring us back to God himself. And that's what God wants us to do. Trust him and believe his promises. We all live in a broken world. We're all waiting for God to make everything new again. And while we wait, we must put all our hope for that new world in Jesus. I just want to finish with a quick story about another tree. Because when I was a boy, I got stuck up a tree. It wasn't that high up, really, but I was really scared. And I wonder if you've ever been stuck up in a tree just like that. In the end, I needed someone to come and help me to get down. But how would you feel if you were in that situation and your father told you, "It's okay. If you fall, I'll catch you. Trust me. Believe me. You are going to be okay. I'm coming to help you, son." And that's what we have to do now. Trust our Father, like a child who knows that his daddy's got him. We all live in a broken world, but God sent his Son to come and help us and to take us home. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are creative and you made a very good world. And thank you for the ways that we can still see some of that today and enjoy some of your wonderful creation. But Lord God, we're sorry that our hearts are broken, our world is broken, and sometimes it feels like you're very far away. Lord, we're sorry for all of the evil things that happen in our world. But Lord God, we thank you and praise you and worship you because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to help us, to come and rescue us, to come and save us. And Lord God, we thank you that you love us so much that he gave his life for us to bring us back to you. And Lord God, we wait with great joy for you to make everything new again and for you to take us to that new world that you're making where there's no more problems and there's nothing that can go wrong. Lord, help us to wait patiently. Help us to trust you and believe your promises as we wait for you to come and take us home. We thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.